Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And yes, once again, we are back. And happy, well, Lundi Gras, technically, but yeah. Mardi Gras, functionally.
Yeah, we've been in Mardi Gras season here in New Orleans for a little while. Most of the biggest parades kicked off this past weekend.
Indeed. So yes, and we're releasing this on Lundi Gras Day.
Right.
And it makes Tuesday Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras Day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And
yep.
Wednesday Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday in New Orleans means things go back to normal.
Yes.
And the old joke in New Orleans is, what's your favorite part of Mardi Gras? And the answer is always Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
When it stops, basically.
Well, yeah, because then you don't have to worry about parades until St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Technically we do have an insane number of parades in this city.
We do. I think there are 8 rolling today.
Yeah.
Between 2 p.m. and, like, midnight.
Yeah, it gets a little nuts. And, like, the very first year we were in the city, we made a concerted effort to do every uptown parade we could. And I think we got nearly...
I think we got all the city ones, but not the uptown ones. We've never done all the uptown ones.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. We did
a lot of parades.
We went all in on the parades. It was absolutely bonkers. We were completely exhausted, and we pretty much haven't been back since.
Yeah, there's a couple of parades that we really like, and one that we followed for years, and then it just got too big for us to be able to enjoy it.
And it keeps having rotten luck as to when it rolls. Like, this year it was rolling near the All-Star Game.
Right.
They keep holding sporting events near it, basically.
Yeah. There's a sporting event in my parade.
Exactly. Boo, sports! Anyways, yeah. But we are back in recording and putting this out on Lundi Gras Day. Hope you are having a happy conclusion to your carnival season if you're celebrating.
Yeah.
And to us, it's time for another episode of Haunt Weekly. And this is an episode we've touched on, a topic we touched on a few times before.
Right.
But never really jumped into.
Yeah, it's one of those where... We should do a full episode on that later.
Yeah.
Well, now we're doing it.
Now we're doing it, yeah. We probably said that at least half a dozen times if you go back through it.
Yeah.
And it's about toxic actors. Basically, actors, and I guess you could expand it to be volunteers in general.
Right.
And crew members. But actors and crew members who just make the haunt unworkable.
Yeah.
How to prevent it, what to do about it when they do arise. And long story short, this is a topic that's very dear to our hearts. We've had a lot of issues with this.
Right.
Not so much with our haunt, but with haunts we've worked at. We've seen this
firsthand. It was bigger issues at ones we've worked at.
We have had some challenges, and we'll talk about them as we go at our haunt. But it's been a bigger problem when we were working at other haunts.
Yeah.
And part of that is just the sheer advantage of we have a smaller haunt.
Well, that, and we own it, so if you're not following the rules, we can say, please get off our property.
Yeah. Exactly. It makes it much, much easier.
Yeah.
But, anyways,
but it's also harder because it's usually friends we're working with.
Yes. And a lot of times it's people who have put in a lot of time, a lot of energy,
right,
a lot of love into the haunt, and you have the very unwelcome duty of telling them they can't come back.
Right.
It's tough, and that's what the things we're talking about. But first, conference reminders.
All right.
Care to blow through these, Crystal? Do the honors. Oh, I'll do the honors then.
I thought I started last.
Okay, I'll do it this time. Sure that. Well, coming up March 23rd through 26th, it's Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show, one of the big daddy conferences in our industry. It's in St. Louis, Missouri, at the America Center. Early bird discounts are still ongoing, so keep your eye open for those. I know, it doesn't feel early bird now.
No,
we've
it doesn't.
We've only been mentioning this for like 12 weeks. Also interesting this year is Escape Room City. A quarter of the trade show floor is dedicated to room escapes and escape rooms. So check that out. Learn more at the HAAshow.com. That's the HAAshow.com.
All right. Next, we have Room Escape Conference and Tour. Sensing a theme already, as we have in previous weeks. May 1st through the 5th in Niagara Falls, New York, Niagara Falls Convention Center. Tours of Five Wits Escape Games Canada.
Canada.
Canada. and Locked Up Escape Games. Conference is the 1st through the 3rd, and the tours are the 4th and the 5th. You can find out more at roomescapeshow.com. And please remember your passports.
Yes, if you do not have a passport and you are planning on attending that conference and doing all the tours, now is the time to apply. Get those photographs. Get it off now.
Yes, because you're already getting close to that. You've got to pay an extra $150 or whatever.
You've already cut it too close.
Expedited.
I think. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think you've already got to pay the expedited. So get on it right now. Well, May 12th through the 14th, it's the West Coast Haunters Convention at the Doubletree Hotel in Portland, Oregon. Tour of Hour to Midnight Room Escape, the Labyrinth Room Escape, and the Escapism Room Escape. You can learn more at hauntersconvention.com.
Okay, then June 8th through 11th.
We have updates on this one, by the way.
Okay.
We have updates. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Midwest Haunters Convention, Greater Columbus Center.
And three off.
You have thrown me off completely.
Sorry.
Thank you. They will be touring the Scaratorium, Scare Factor, Dead Acres, Haunted Hoochie.
I did not name
and
it.
Hosting a late night monster beach party. That sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun. Now, here's one of the problems.
Okay.
The Scare Factor tour / the Dead Acres and Haunted Hoochie tour are taking place on Friday night, and so is the late night monster beach party. All three of those tour sets, all three of those things are taking place at the same time.
Are you able to go to...
No, they're mutually exclusive. You choose one.
Oh. That's well, that makes me sad. What if I want to do all the things?
I know. Well, apparently you have to make some sacrifices.
Are they close enough that I could go at the earliest to the first one, head over to the second one, and still make the beach party?
Make the tail on the beach party. I love this idea of a late night monster beach party, by the way. It sounds really, really cool.
That sounds a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would be really stoked about that if I were you guys.
Yep.
Well.
You can find out more about them, though, at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Yes. Beyond that, Midsummer Scream is July 29th and 30th in Long Beach, California, at the Long Beach Convention Center. From the people behind Scary LA, Creepy LA, rather, and Theme Park, I don't know why I said that, and Theme Park Adventures. Details are scant right now, but check out MidsummerScream.org to learn more.
All right. Then we have Haunt Fair, August 4th through the 5th, at Rancocoma New York Clarion Hotel. Haunted Bus Tour on Friday. And you can learn more about that at haunt-fairefair.com.
And finally, oh, not finally. Sorry, we have one more after this.
Yeah. And we never did confirm this, where it was at.
No, we did not.
We are bad, bad hosts. Sorry.
Yeah, we are. Okay, but next up is Scare LA, August 5th and 6th in Los Angeles at the Pasadena Convention Center. 200-plus vendors and many panels related to the haunted attraction business will be there. Learn more at scarela.com.
Right. And that might be in a different place. Like we said, we lost track of time this past week.
Yeah.
Because there's some stuff going on outside of
this. It's also Mardi
this.
Gras season, just to be honest with you. Doesn't help things. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Halloween and Haunt Fest Show, August 25th through 27th, Dallas-Fort Worth at the Mesquite Convention Center. You can find out more about that as details become available at halloweenandhaunt.com.
Yes, definitely. Check it out. So yes, busy, busy, busy conference season this year.
You just did your Rocky call out.
Rocky Horror is life, and anyone who disputes that just can't be my...
You can't say those words without doing the call out voice, right?
No, you can't. So yes, but yes, Rocky Horror's life, if you don't agree with that, you just cannot be my friend. I'm sorry. Okay, maybe you can be my friend. I don't know.
No.
But you just never will really understand me. It's not a phase, Mom. It's been 18 years, Mom.
I think there are plenty of other reasons to not understand you.
Your own sanity, common decency, lots of reasons. Okay. Well, before we kick off, we wanted to highlight a service we learned about just before we went on air. And apparently these guys have been around. They apparently started last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, we just learned about them.
Right. Because I was looking to see if anybody else had had problems with toxic actors.
Yeah, and we ran across this. And even though it's not like directly related to the topic, it seems pretty cool and worth mentioning.
Right.
It's a service called Haunt Scheduler. It's at hauntscheduler.com, depending upon which annoying pronunciation you wish to use.
Yeah.
The basic idea of this is a web-based management tool for managing your actors. It allows you to collect information from your actors, schedule them, and send communication to them.
Right.
A basic plan costs $150 per year. It goes all the way up to a platinum plan, which is $250 per year. The main thing about it is the basic plan doesn't let you send any text messages to your actors.
Oh.
Where the premium counts. Now, you can send emails.
Yeah.
But as we've learned from talking with Japes and so forth, email is not always our best friend.
No.
In communication.
Yeah.
So if you want like lots of text messages and so forth, which you probably do, you're going to want one of the premium plans. And honest to God, for most like professional haunts, the jump from 150 to 250 per year is not even
not
worth
that
mentioning.
Much, yeah.
It's not even worth mentioning. So honestly, I don't know why you wouldn't just step up to a platinum account.
Right.
There is a 30-day free trial. And the reason it's actually really, really cool is built by haunters for haunters, like a lot of these services. And it allows you to customize it so that you set up your rooms, you set up your posts, and then you can move and position the actors accordingly.
Right.
And it works with both volunteer and paid actors, which is interesting to note. I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure how this is more beneficial than just like a regular employee scheduler.
Right.
We're lucky we run a smaller haunt.
Right.
So we can trivially keep track with a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
We have fewer nights and fewer actors. So for
yeah.
us, it's not a problem. But if you have dozens or hundreds of actors,
right.
you might want to check this service out. Do the 30-day free trial. See if it's for you guys. And like I said, the cost isn't that bad. I mean, I'm familiar
right.
with other employee scheduling services. It's actually fairly cheap. It's not like, you know, like we criticize HauntPay for
yeah.
being much more expensive than traditional payment processors.
Right.
This doesn't seem to be out of line.
Right. No, it doesn't.
So if it works better for you, I say go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
And by the way, we should clarify, we are not sponsored in any way by these guys.
No. We just found them, thought they
never
were interesting.
Never met them, never talked to them, never even got a message from these guys.
Yeah.
We know nothing about them, but we thought the service looked cool in our research and wanted to share it.
Now, one of the things you could do if you wanted to message people and not do the upgrade,
mm-hmm.
you just do the basic account, is you could also incorporate Slack.
Yes.
For messaging, because Slack is pretty good for getting a message to everybody at the same time.
Yeah.
And
it's also
it
worth noting
smaller
that...
businesses.
Yeah. And then Japes told us about Remind.com, which is what
right.
a lot of teachers use, and he is a teacher,
right.
use it.
Also on this list, and we're getting way off topic
yeah, well,
here. Sorry. Doodle. I've started using Doodle.com to organize meetings among students at the college I work for.
Oh, cool.
So basically you put it out there, hey, what times and days can you be available, and people sign up for it that way.
Yeah, and I just,
that's a free account.
Yeah. So it might be helpful in some,
yeah.
in some situations. And by the way, a basic Doodle account is $39 per year.
Yeah, they do have a free account also, but there's a limit to how many people you can email.
Yeah, and a lot of haunts would run into that one pretty quick.
Yeah, but they do give you the link so that you can email them directly, which is how I use it.
So. Very, very cool. But anyway, so yeah, I wanted to share that before we got
yeah.
into this topic. So, toxic actors, an unpleasant conversation to say the very least, but an important
yeah.
one nonetheless, because we have witnessed a couple of haunts that really struggle with this problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have an expression in this industry where we say haunts are like families, or sometimes we liken them to battalions of soldiers.
Right.
But either comparison is apt in its own way.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, we are all still a group of individuals, oftentimes very eclectic individuals, and we're not always going to get along.
Right.
And so, at some point, you're going to have people who are toxic to your haunt.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's not a if, it's a when.
Yeah, it's a when. And I want to be clear about something, and this is something I want to drive home. When we're talking about toxic actors, in many situations, not necessarily at all, some people, sometimes they are just assholes.
Yeah.
They're just terrible people, and
yeah.
you know what I mean? And it's totally their fault. But a lot of times, it's not that they're bad people.
Right.
It's that they don't fit with your group and your haunt. They're toxic to your haunt. But in another environment, they would be fine and they would thrive.
Right.
And that's an important distinction to make. We're not saying these are toxic people. These are toxic actors for your haunt and for your group and for the culture you're creating.
Right. Yeah.
And we'll get into it in a little bit more, but I can think of at least a couple of actors
yeah.
who were at one haunt we were at. They were very toxic there. They were creating problems. They were annoying.
Right.
But they went on to another haunt. Yeah. And they're doing amazing things.
Right.
They got a job they're happier with. They're working on projects they want to be working on.
Right.
And they're just kicking ass and taking names. And they're being great employees.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a lot of it has to do with the culture you're trying to create and how well they fit in and blend in with it.
Right. And also, you know, if you're trying to create an inclusive and very open-minded kind of welcoming place for everyone, then you might find people with views that are different from that may not be as good of a fit for your culture as another haunt.
Yeah, so just think about that as you're doing it. And it's not just, like I said, the inclusiveness. It has to do with the work ethic.
Right.
Is your haunt more laid back, or are you more, you know, rise and shine and dusk to dawn type people? You know, are you, you know, what is sort of your mindset about how the scare should work? Is it an all-out attack, or is it something where it's more, you know, laid back and traditional? You know, you've got to get people that are the right fit for what you're trying to do.
Right.
And that can be very tough. And it's like I said, just because an actor is toxic in your haunt does not mean they're toxic everywhere they go.
Right.
Bear that in mind.
And I think that there are special challenges with haunts that work on a volunteer basis.
Absolutely.
Versus haunts that are run more like a business and it's taken more seriously as a job.
Agreed. And like I said, that's a challenge because the truth of the matter is when you're dealing with toxic actors, you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You have to deal with it because the cost of dealing with it is, even in a volunteer haunt, is much higher than the cost of not, is much less than the cost of not dealing with it. Because if you don't deal with it, A, good actors who aren't causing problems will leave.
Right.
And that can be a huge problem. And not only will they leave, but you'll find it harder to recruit new ones.
Well, and not only that, but if they were a liked actor, and they had a lot of friends there, then they could take more than just them with them when they go.
Yeah. And that's that can be a real struggle sometimes when you're dealing with this, because there's an old saying about, like, chain reactions and this type of thing.
Yeah.
When one person leaves, it's usually not the only person.
Right.
You know, if one of your best actors leaves, you'll be replacing not just that person, but two or three more probably.
Right.
And it gets harder because one of the key ways that we recruit in this industry is word of mouth.
Yeah.
Our actors find, hey, they get a friend they think could be perfect. Some buddy moves into town, they meet up, they're hanging out, and they say, hey, you'd be perfect for our haunt family. You should come in.
Right.
That's important. But the actor, even if they stay, but if they're not happy, if they feel it's an unhealthy environment, they're not going to try to bring other people in.
Right.
They're going to, you know, just sort of say, yeah, I do it, but, you know, it's just a thing. It's not a big deal. You know, I don't, you know, and
yeah.
You have to have that ability to grow internally, so to speak. You have to have the ability for actors to bring their friends in. And for that to happen, they have to have the desire.
Right. They have to feel comfortable in your haunt and be accepted. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And the toxicity also hurts the quality of the haunt in a very serious way, in particular the quality of scares.
Right.
If people are not focused on the task at hand, if they are distracted by toxicity, if they're distracted by emotions and ill feelings, they're not going to be as effective. Haunting is a very mentally draining thing.
Yeah.
And your actors need to be ready to give 100% for the entire time you're open.
Right, because it's that adrenaline's going, you're feeding off the fear of the people going through your haunt, and it's great, and then it's just, at some point, you just drop.
Yeah.
Because you can lose that really quickly if you're not prepared for it.
And when and if that happens, you've got to have the focus to maintain it.
Yeah. Now, should we take a moment just to clarify what we mean by toxic?
Okay, that's probably a valid point.
Because
That's a valid point. Okay, but what we mean by toxic, I always assume this word, this definition,
right,
is kind of generally
universal,
understood.
Yeah.
But it may not be. You're absolutely right. Basically, what we mean it is that as an actor who is causing emotional or issues within the haunt.
Some kind of conflict.
So is bringing conflict into the haunt, whether it's, you know, purely emotional, or as we're going to discuss in a minute, whether it's drugs and alcohol,
right,
rule breaking.
Yeah.
Any kind of conflict.
Drama.
Drama.
Unnecessary.
Any kind of issue into the haunt, needlessly.
Yeah.
And the key word there is needlessly in many ways, shape, and form.
Right.
Because, okay, when an actor's car breaks down and they can't make it one night, that causes a conflict.
Yeah.
But it's not needless conflict.
Right.
They couldn't help that. Their car broke down.
Right. No, that's not a toxic person.
That's not a toxic person. But if they are just not showing up consistently,
right,
and no real reason, that's a toxic person. They're causing conflict. They're causing trouble. They're adding to the list of problems in your haunt,
right,
rather than, and that's kind of the job of an actor, or the job of a volunteer, is you're supposed to make the number of problems a haunt faces go down.
Yeah.
You're supposed to solve problems, not add to them.
Yeah.
And a toxic actor or a toxic volunteer is someone that adds problems instead of removes them.
Right.
I think that's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, and then the final thing, by the way, about toxicity is that it hurts the business.
Yeah.
Especially if you're paying your actors. See, and this is like the weird back and forth here. If you pay your actors, you have more tools with which to deal with toxic actors.
Right.
You can fire them, basically.
Yeah.
You have one very big tool. You can fire them. Or you can scale back their hours significantly. You can take action.
Right.
Against them that will actually hurt. And you can use that as a stick to discourage behavior.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that if you are running a business and there's toxicity taking place, then you are throwing money at hours that aren't being spent well.
Right.
And that hurts your business. And plus, right, if...
it's a bad product.
It's basically, yeah, you're throwing into a bad product.
Not and saying that people are products, but...
but the outcome is the same. Because that's just...
the product is a scare.
Okay, and that's one of the weird things we have to remember about this from a business perspective is as the owner, you are paying for the product,
right,
which is the scare and the effect.
Right.
To the employee, you're paying for the hours.
Right.
And what you need to make sure as a business owner is that those two goals align.
Yeah.
That their hours are leading to your good product.
Right.
If those two things align, you're doing well.
Yeah.
If they don't, you got problems. So, we just want, and this obviously is not an all-encompassing list, by the way. We don't have time to do an all-encompassing list of ways people can be a toxic actor or volunteer.
Right.
But we wanted to cover some of the more common ones we've seen.
Yeah.
And the first one's a big one at haunts we've worked at, drugs and alcohol.
Right. And part of that, I think, is being in New Orleans, because we do have a drinking culture here. I mean, it is not unusual to day drink.
No.
Which is, and... to day drink in such a way that you're never actually drunk.
Yeah.
That's not the point of day drinking.
No. Yeah, we definitely have a laissez-faire attitude about drugs and alcohol in this city.
Right.
More so than most places.
Yeah, and maybe it's not as big of a problem in other cities that have more strict views on drugs and alcohol.
Maybe. So. But regardless, it's something we've seen a lot of
here. And it is something that everybody needs to address.
Yes, it is. Nonetheless, regardless, either way.
Yep.
And basically what I say there is haunts need hard and fast rules to prevent haunting under the influence, as I call it.
Yes, because it's not good for anybody.
No. It basically, no actor should be inebriated in any way while haunting.
Right.
And no actor should ever drink or do drugs while the haunt is open.
Yeah.
And the reason is simple. It's too dangerous.
Right.
And there's a huge risk of liability here, because if something bad happens to a customer and they find out that the actor involved was drunk or was on drugs or something,
right,
and that the haunt was aware of this and didn't take any action.
Yeah. That's a liability.
That's a lawsuit that's like easy right there.
Yeah.
You've got to deal with this if it happens. I mean, and my personal attitude is those who are caught violating this rule need to be banned.
Yeah. And in fact, we had this issue early on. You know, like we've said, we are home haunters. We have little garage haunt. And one of our friends who absolutely loves the haunt industry.
Yes.
And he's worked in various places. But whenever he came and volunteered with us, he would bring beer as his drink of choice.
Yes.
And we told him,
don't do that.
That you can't do it.
Yeah. And that was always one of the things we covered in our pre-game meetings, so to speak.
Right.
Is, you know, no drinking. And and what I tell the actors every time is, look, when we close up shop, we've swept everything out, Yeah. We shut that door. I'll go with you.
Yeah.
I'll buy the first round.
Yeah.
You name the bar, we're going.
Yeah.
It's cool. I have no issue with drugs. With drugs. I'll go with you. I don't do drugs, but I will go drinking with you. Yes. That's not a problem at all.
Yeah.
I will. It's not an issue.
Right.
But nothing while we're open. Right. And nothing before we're open.
And basically, the last straw with this particular person was he had snuck a beer.
Yes.
On one of his breaks. We didn't see him actually drink it. But the next time a customer came through, they said, "Oh, I smell beer. Can I have one of those?"
Yeah.
And I knew instantly who they were talking about. And so he was asked to return. Leave.
And he has not, actually. Yeah. Now, that is a fairly tame story.
It is.
On all things considered.
Yes.
Because he didn't hurt anyone. There was no damage to property, which is a very common problem with drinking and drugs, honestly. Even if there is no damage to people, there's often damage to property.
Yeah, I think that the worst thing that came out of that was that we lost a friend that we'd had for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and, you know, he could not meet a very simple and very understandable request. I still don't feel too bad about that one.
Oh, no, I don't feel bad about it. I'm just saying that that's probably the worst outcome.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I remember what happened in one haunt locally that was having a really bad issue with toxicity we were working at.
And we mentioned it a couple of times,
It bears repeating. I was out front that night this happened.
Right.
And long story short is some of the actors working outside in the cemetery seen snuck in moonshine.
Yep.
Really strong moonshine, actual moonshine. Yes. I believe it was actually homebrew moonshine.
Yeah. That part of the world, yeah.
Yeah, and long and short of it is, nearly all the zombies got really sick.
Yes.
And I'm laughing about it, but it was not funny in the moment at all.
Well, no, because the bathroom was then unavailable. I know, because I needed it before the night was over. Because this was fairly early in the night.
Yeah.
This happened.
Yeah, that haunt opened at, I think, 7?
Yeah.
And this all took place around 8:30.
Yeah.
It was only an hour
and
a half
after open. So they were hitting it hard really early.
Yeah, and probably pre-gaming, too, if we're going to be honest.
Probably, yeah.
Regardless, one of them threw up in one of the large fog machines.
Yes.
Which is...
Yes.
I don't even want to know what hyperheated vomit smells like, but I do know what it smells like.
Yeah.
But the worst part about it was that most of these actors were underage.
Yeah.
And the detail cop that was paid to be there and watch the haunt and required by the city ordinance to be there suddenly goes from being there to protect us from the customers to basically going to arrest some of our actors.
Yeah.
And now I don't believe anyone actually got arrested. I believe everyone got, but those actors were disinvited too.
Yeah. And yeah, I did not see them back. And it was a good thing to not have them back.
Yeah, they were the epitome of toxicity. And one of the problems with drugs and alcohol, one of the reasons why it is bad, is in this situation, it really was just one bad actor.
Yeah.
Who brought it in.
Right.
But they tainted others by sharing and pressuring others to partake as well.
Yeah.
And that makes it go from one guy that can't come back to three or four. I don't remember how many were involved.
Yeah, three or four. And it also included property damage because there were two foggers involved.
Oh, there were two. Okay, I can't remember if it's one or two.
Yes. No, one one received the treatment that you described. The other received something much worse.
Yes.
So there were two, plus the cleanup and decontamination of the restroom.
Yeah, and all I want to say is that happened on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And the haunt was not open again until the following Friday.
Right.
When we came back, everything was put back together, and nobody asked any questions about how it was done.
Yeah.
And I'm keeping it that way. For the love of God, I'm keeping it that way.
Right.
So, yeah, drugs and alcohol, generally, an ill-advised combo with the actors of the haunt. I mean, go back to the alcohol episode we did previously about making a decision what's right for your customers, but yeah, long and short of it is for your actors and volunteers, not a chance. Terrible idea.
Yeah.
A common one that we see a lot is spreading hostility, though, among the crews. The so-called drama llamas.
Right, yeah.
as I refer to them. And the thing about it is this. Like I said, we're family, we're a battalion, we're a bunch of eclectic people. We're going to butt heads.
Right.
Conflicts happen. And a one-on-one conflict is just a fact of life. Work to resolve them quickly, work to resolve them amicably, try to find a way to deal with it and move on. That's in the best interest of the team.
It is.
But the problem arises when one person finds himself at the center of many conflicts.
Right. And this is also one that can be harder to root out.
Yes, I agree.
Because a lot of times they will start rumors.
Yes.
And intentionally try to pit actors and owners against each other.
Right.
Because we've been in that situation where a person was trying to pit us against the owner. And we didn't know which side it was coming from or who was telling the truth. And still don't to this day.
Yeah, not really, no.
You know.
Yeah.
And so it's harder to find out because basically whatever rumor's being spread has to get back to you.
Yeah.
And so if there's not something that tells actors what to do in that situation, maybe even like a box where people can put in concerns.
Yeah.
Anonymously.
Well,
you know,
and it really is. We'll discuss in a little bit more detail in a minute. It really does come back to hierarchy.
Yeah,
you have to give your actors someone they can directly report to comfortably.
Yes.
That's extremely important, and it should not just be talk to the owner,
right?
Or talk. You know what I mean? That doesn't always work,
right?
Because
if the owner's part of the possible problem,
exactly.
Which is the case here that we dealt with.
Yeah.
You know, the owner was the center of the rumors.
Yeah.
But the owner was also spreading rumors.
Yeah, and that really made it toxic. By the way, if you're an owner of a haunt, don't be a toxic asshole.
Yes.
That makes things 100 times worse.
Yeah.
And except this haunt in particular, they had to shut down for a few years and had to basically rebuild.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was because of this type of stuff.
Right.
They got so... Now, I gotta say, they came back, and they're doing well now.
Right.
They seem to have learned the lessons.
Yeah. And they've got a couple of people from the original crew.
But only the ones I would have kept, personally.
Yeah. I think they're... Actually, it may just down to one now.
But even, like, when they reopened, they only had a handful, and...
Right.
It was the people I would have wanted in my haunt, too, basically.
Yeah. And the other people
I completely agree with every call there.
Ways. Oh, yeah.
I agree with every call.
I think there were a lot of lessons learned.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes down to just better management, but also getting rid of the people who were at least triggering some of the problems.
Right.
But you're right. This can be very, very difficult to root out. One area of a lot of potential drama, though, is relationships.
Yeah.
Husbands and wives, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends, boyfriends and boyfriends, girlfriends and girlfriends.
Yeah.
You know, they get into haunting together because that's what couples do.
Yeah.
And when they do so, they sometimes break up.
Right.
In the middle of, sometimes in the middle of season, God help us all.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is always a tricky one because you have to really take them on a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm.
And the long story short is we've always said, and this is just kind of our way of life, but it's also how we've done things in the haunt, is that when friends of ours or people in our network break up, we don't choose sides.
Right.
Unless we are somehow forced to.
Yeah.
We just say, okay, we're all grown-ups here. No one's in high school. Breakups happen. We don't have to have winners and losers. If we can all work and play nice together, then we can still hang out, you know,
right.
and do scary stuff.
Yes.
But if one party started using the haunt as a means to attack their former partner or starts, you know, using the haunt as a way to get back at them.
Right.
They got to be out. They're gone.
Yeah.
You cannot have that.
No.
And that's the thing is you cannot afford to have actors and volunteers who are driving wedges into the haunt.
Yeah, and splitting up your group.
Yeah, and causing divides. That only serves to fracture the haunt.
Yeah.
And this was a common problem way back when we were doing in the haunting in Columbia, South Carolina.
Right.
This was a major problem.
Yeah.
Because there were a handful of actors, one of whom I think was actually genuinely, legitimately insane.
Yeah, probably.
But the thing there was, it was a scene-based haunt where you go room to room with a guide. It was that old JC-style haunt.
Right.
And there were people actively drawing, you know, dividing wedges between the rooms and yeah. between the scenes. Basically, it became like gang warfare inside the haunt.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sounds like it's not a big deal because you don't work directly with other rooms a lot. But what happens when the guy Hellraiser is torturing in room 8 is suddenly sick? Well, you've got to pull so-and-so from room 3 to go fill in.
Yeah.
And if you don't have, you know what I mean? You still got to work together. You still got to sub out. And you still got to be able to cooperate, even in that environment. And it made it very difficult. You wanted to do moves. You wanted to do changes. It was very, very complicated.
Right. Well, and that one had another toxic actor.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that you thought was really legitimately.
Insane. Yeah.
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 He also was very anti-women. Because mm-hmm. I ran in and butted heads with him a couple of times on that issue. And yeah. so if you're trying to be inclusive, then you don't want someone who's openly hostile to half of your crew.
Yeah, I agree. And that one was genuinely about... Actually, I think it was closer to 60% women.
Yeah.
I really do. I think pretty much every scene had... At least, every scene except the one I was in primarily, for some weird reason, was 4 dudes.
Oh, I thought
no, there was a girl.
Yeah, our friend was back there with
yes,
you.
Yes, there was one. Yes, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. God, memory. This is like, forgive me, everyone. This is like we're talking about something that happened 15, 16 years ago now.
Yeah.
So my memory is a little bit wonky here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those situations where I think that haunt was legitimately at least 60 to 70% women.
Right.
So he wasn't just hating on half the haunt.
Yeah.
He was hating on 2/3 approximately. Okay.
Well, that's fine. You know, I guesstimated.
You did. That's
I guessed
fine.
Wrong.
But, God, you're right. You can't have that. And he also did, and this is something we didn't include on our list, but maybe should have, actors doing dangerous crap.
Yes. He would bring real weapons.
Yes.
And would not be told to not use them.
He brought real weapons. He would swing the weapons at people, at other actors, including a child actor.
Yeah.
And wave it in front of the crowd, the customers, too.
Yeah.
That was crazy. And management did nothing to curb him.
No.
You know, they knew it. And I know they knew it because, like I said, this was a guided haunt. Managers were literally walking through the haunt as all this was happening.
Yeah.
Because typically speaking, and it was actually one of the few smart things they did, the people who ran the haunt were typically one of the two guides at least.
Right.
If it wasn't both, I know you did the guide a little bit.
Yeah, I did it the first night.
Yeah, you did some guide work, but most of the time it was the actual managers of the haunt, people from the charity itself that we were representing, were the guides. And they were watching everything and never said anything.
Yeah.
And frankly, we were all scared to death of this guy.
Yeah.
It was a rough experience, honestly.
Yeah. Looking back on it, we haven't had much luck, have we?
No, I haven't. Well, you know, but then again, I take a little heart in saying this, that we have been doing this 15 years now.
Yeah.
Home haunting, pro haunting, mix of all things.
Yeah.
And we keep retelling the same nightmare stories over and over and over again, and I admit we do that.
Right.
But I think that's a positive thing because...
We don't have new ones?
We don't have new ones. Hey, most of these are at least 7 years old.
Right.
So we don't have new ones, and we really just don't have that many, thank God.
Right.
So I think we actually are kind of lucky to have only come away with a handful of really crazy stories like this.
Yeah, and real quick to touch on the relationships one more issue. Families.
Yeah.
If you have families that are working for you, sometimes it will become apparent that the parents are really into it or the kids are really into it, but the other people that are there with them, their other family members, are not into it. And you have to figure out how to deal with that, and if you can, without losing all of them, and if you do lose all of them, how do you replace them?
Yeah. And one of the things about that is it does lead into one of our final categories, distracted and wandering actors.
Right.
And we've all put up with this one.
Yeah.
It's a lower level of toxicity, but it's like nails on a chalkboard grating to me. Actors that just don't seem connected with this, They go wandering off. They go to talk to their friends.
Yeah.
They do whatever. They do anything they can other than their actual jobs, basically.
Right.
That is so frustrating, and it is so common. Basically, it's a lot of it's what you described. It's where you get a family or you get a group of friends who want to be in it, and like mm-hmm. two or three of the friends are really excited, but friends four and five aren't.
Right.
And so they're going to wander off and try to, you know, not do anything other than haunting, basically.
Yeah.
And that gets really old really fast. So yeah, suggestion there is basically separate them if you can.
Yeah.
If the haunt's big enough, separate them out. Do keep kids near their parents, though.
Right.
Because then they will get more focused and less distracted with a parental figure there, as long as the parent's doing their job.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but we have had issues with kids wanting to talk to their friends and making comments about customers before the customers are out of earshot. That's another problem.
Yes.
And I actually had to get on to people last year about that.
Yeah.
Because you've got to... And those are things that you should probably go over with ahead of time, you know?
And we do usually, but
but it doesn't always work.
No, yes. And the real problem is these actors distract others.
Right.
If a kid is wandering through your scene to talk to his friends, it's distracting to you. It could completely bork your room if he collides in with another group. It could create all kinds of problems.
Well, not only that, but they really aggravated our wolf girl last year.
Oh, God, yes.
She was like, can I just strangle him?
Oh, please. Yeah, and
no,
it was only,
I'm sorry.
And it was really bad in that case because she was actually in real chains.
Yeah.
Like, she really could have done it.
She could have.
She was in, like, 18 feet. She was, like, not 8. That's, like, 12 feet of chain.
Yeah.
She was had like 12 feet of chain. She really could have done it pretty trivially.
Yeah.
But she didn't.
She was just vending her station. But
I don't blame her for being aggravated. And like I said, it hurts scares. And it can also trigger props, too, is something else that we've had problems with. Especially if you have trip wires and things like laser trip wires
Lots
and pressure
of
pads.
Animatronic, motion sensitive stuff.
Actors roaming and going off the, off script a little bit there can really create a problem. Yeah.
And also sound sensitive stuff. Because if your prop hears something, it could go off and not be finished by the time your customers actually come out there.
Well, exactly. So yeah, basically my attitude there is, especially if it's an inexperienced haunter, give them a warning, give them specific instructions, but definitely let them go if they prove they can't be trusted to be on their mark and be where they need to be. And I get it. I mean, sometimes when we're haunting, even like fairly busy haunts have dead times.
Right.
That happens. That's part of life. But yeah, that's no excuse. There's a work ethic to this that is tough.
Yeah.
And it's tough for a lot of people to understand. Haunting is fun, but the fun comes from scaring people. It comes from doing this job well. And if you're someone that doesn't find that part fun and engaging, you're not going to make a very good haunter.
Yeah.
I'm just sorry. So some general tips, while we wrap this up, some general tips that we've come up with for reducing toxicity. One, give actors and volunteers and so forth a chance to get together outside of the haunt.
Yeah.
This one has worked very well for us. Give people a place to talk and work out their differences, but also just to do that stuff that they can't do in the haunt.
Right.
Get to know one another, shake hands, have a drink together, have a meal together, whatever,
Yeah.
Basically spend time and be friends so that when they're in the haunt, they don't feel the need to do that. That isn't their only chance to be friendly.
Right. Or to get to know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So give them an opportunity to do that. Have meetings. In fact, have meetings throughout the year.
Yeah.
Ideally. Every few months, at the very least. Before you open every night, hold a meeting. Hold a safety meeting. We call it a safety meeting, but it's usually more than a safety meeting.
Yeah. It's a general, this is what we're going to do tonight.
This is the plan. This is what we're expecting of you. Let people know what to expect. And, give them a heads up as to who they can talk to if there's a problem. We usually say things like, Crystal's the general on the inside, I'm the general on the outside.
Right.
If you have a problem that's going on before you enter the haunt, talk to me. If it happens after they enter the haunt, talk to Crystal.
Yeah.
And we have usually a lieutenant or someone else on the inside that's got a little more authority.
Yeah, I recruited someone last year to help with that.
And I need a lieutenant on the outside, honestly. But
yeah,
I've got someone I've delegated a lot to.
Yeah.
But still, I guess he is a lieutenant. Yeah. Now that I think about it, I think he does serve as a lieutenant.
Yeah.
Maybe I actually need to christen that.
Oh God.
Christen him that. But you know, the long and short of it is, that's a joke we're gonna get. I'm sorry,
yeah,
folks. But long story short. Yeah, have a clear indication who they can talk to if there's a problem.
Right.
And part of that's just having a clear hierarchy in the haunt.
Yeah.
This is something that a lot of haunts, like the JC haunt, definitely, the old haunt, charity haunt we were at in South Carolina, definitely screwed this one up.
Right.
There was no clear hierarchy. Who was your manager in that haunt, Crystal?
I don't even know who was running the place.
I know who, like, the owner of the charity was.
Like, I talked to one person that said, as long as you could be here the rest of the nights were open, you could work. Great.
Where Perfect. Am I working? Well, yeah. I don't know who managed me at all.
No.
I don't know his or her name. I don't know their name. I don't know their face.
No.
Who the hell was running that show?
Yeah.
And like at other haunts we've been at, you know, we usually know who the owner is, but we usually don't know who the lieutenants are.
No.
And not that some of these haven't been big enough.
Yeah.
Definitely could have used a few lieutenants at a couple of these.
Right.
But basically have zone captains and or lieutenants, depending on the term you want to use, that
right.
can help. And sort of be that intermediary between the owner and the frontline actors.
Right. This may also be something, like, if someone has a serious concern, make sure that they know, I'm going to call it the haunt mom, but
yeah.
make sure that they know that they have a person that doesn't have as high of a stake in the interpersonal
Agreed.
Relationships that they can go to.
Yeah, this definitely goes back. We have to do a whole episode on the haunt mom or haunt dad type role.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done that one, but that's a very good point.
Yeah, I know we went into depth in some previously.
With the haunt crew and all that
right.
in that episode, yeah. But I think that's a role that really deserves its own time and attention.
Okay.
Because, yeah, basically every haunt should have someone who is not actively engaged or invested in the haunt, but is engaged and invested in making sure the actors are comfortable, safe,
right.
and, you know, are generally okay.
Yeah. They have the things that they need. They have someone they could talk to. This is not a person who is intimidating in any way.
No.
They're very approachable.
And they're not vying for a role. There's no competition here.
Right.
You know,
and they don't have sides because they know everybody about equally.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very useful role to have, especially in these types of situations.
Yeah.
And yeah, finally, just have people try to resolve problems between each other whenever possible. One-on-one conflicts are going to happen. If you're sensing that there's a conflict, the best thing, when we've only had to do this a couple of times, is to get everyone together and say, look, figure it out.
Yeah.
You two,
we will mediate.
Whatever it takes, figure it out. If we have to move one of you to a different room so you don't have to look and smell at one another,
yeah.
we can do that. I'd rather not. But come on, you guys have to be able to resolve a conflict. We had a conflict outside our haunt last year. Two of our line actors kept clashing.
Right.
And so what we ended up doing was, you know, a little bit of mediation went into this, but long story short was we said, okay, you are working this zone, you are working this zone, now you can't step on each other's scares.
Yeah.
You know, you get up to this point on the sidewalk
yeah.
or whatever, you get up to this point, and they never collided again.
No.
And it was beautiful. They actually worked really well together, and by the end of the night, they were actually setting each other up.
Right.
Because, you know, line actor one would push people into line actor two's area
right.
in a designated way, and then on the way back out, do the reverse.
Yeah, and we should mention that this is the first time we've had more than one line actor.
Yeah.
Because
we've had more than one line actor before.
Not often.
It doesn't happen often, I admit. We don't usually need it.
No.
But this year, we did need it, and we did have it. But,
right.
So, yeah, but you can work on those types of things. You can set up those types of situations. And once they got that going down, they were clicking, and they were both having the time of their life.
Right.
They were really awesome with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And what started out as a tense night where I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to have to tell one of these two to go home.
Right.
You know, I really thought that was going to happen. Because it's like every 5 minutes I'm hearing about, hey, he stepped on this, he stepped on that. It's like, look, you two just solve it.
Yeah.
Take a moment. Take five. We're having a bit of a slow time. Solve this problem.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they actually did.
Yay!
So it does work. Yeah, having people solve their problems like that is really, really great because it's a solution everyone can live with, usually.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, if you have to intervene, you have to intervene because it's better to lose one actor than half your crew, pretty much.
Yeah, no
which
kidding.
Is what happens when that toxicity gets too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it can make your haunt split and kill your haunt.
It really can, and like I said, we've seen that happen at one haunt where rumors and division just got so bad.
Yeah, well, and in that case, it was also special because the two owners did not get along very well either. They had different goals in mind for the haunt.
Yeah, very different goals in mind for the haunt.
Yeah. So pick your partners well, too.
Yeah. Even if they're just a silent business partner, don't forget, they can play a role in this exact stuff, too.
Yeah.
Because silent business partners usually aren't very silent.
Yeah.
I've learned that over the years.
Right.
Silence in the name, you'd think they're silent, but they're not.
No.
They usually have very vocal opinions, especially if they're on site when you're open.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the things, is that if, in that case, what you're thinking about is if the business guy had just not been on site.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a huge deal.
Right.
But he was there. He wasn't doing anything to help run the haunt,
right.
usually. He wasn't putting on a mask and a costume and scaring people.
No.
He was just bringing the mood of everyone down.
Yeah. Yeah, it was clear that he did not want to be there. And he was just there to make sure that money was being made.
Which, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't, but that's part of the reason he was bringing everybody down was because his goals for the haunt were not being met.
Yeah.
And this was a brand new haunt at the time.
Yeah, it was a brand new haunt. Honestly, the location kind of was not ideal.
Well, yeah, it had a whole lot of issues.
Issues. Yeah. But, yeah, honestly, I think they're doing so much better now.
I do too.
They've relocated. They've gotten rid of the really toxic people.
Including
the extra business owner. And, you know, their current crew, we're friends with a lot of them on Facebook.
Yeah.
They're really great people. And, honestly, been enjoying it. They got a great haunt.
Yep.
They're the type of place I wouldn't mind working now. But, yeah, long and short of it is, toxicity kills haunts. I've seen haunts die over this repeatedly, or at least be severely set back by this.
Right.
You have to address this. You have to stop this. This is a haunt owner, or at least an actor manager's responsibility.
Yeah.
And long and short of it is, if you don't do it, this is going to sink you.
Yeah.
This will sink you faster than just about anything else in this industry. I can't think of anything else other than, like, and maybe just, like, not getting any customers that will sink you quicker.
Yeah.
Completely bombing financially.
Yeah, because, and a lot of that can be helped with marketing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and a lot of it can also be helped by not having a toxic environment, having actors that are invested in helping you promote the haunt.
Right.
Because that was one of the other issues with toxicity is the actors, hey, we need to go to such and such fair and promote the haunt. Nobody wants to go.
Nope.
Because everybody's PO'd about something.
Yep.
And nobody wants to go, and so the owner is going pretty much by himself to hand out flyers. Yeah, that type of stuff happened.
It did.
And, yeah. So, long story short, toxicity hurts absolutely everything.
Yes.
Well, that's all I've got on this topic right now. Any final thoughts to share?
No.
Yeah, just people, be cool to one another.
Yeah.
Please.
Be nice.
Be nice, you know.
Play nice.
We're all weirdos and... awkward and awesome people in this industry. Let's just celebrate and enjoy each other's company.
Yes. And I look forward to hearing your comments, Japes. Yes. I know we screwed something up.
I know we screwed everything up. One other thing real fast while we're talking about reducing toxicity. Try not to talk politics in the haunt.
Yeah.
Especially right now.
Yeah. No. Our the environment... If you want it to be all-inclusive, you've got to keep politics and religion and taxes out of it, right?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like taxi cab rules on this. Like, you hear taxi drivers talk about, like, there's, like, three things you never discuss with a customer. You never discuss politics, sex, or religion.
Yep.
Never discuss those three things, and you'll be fine. Any conversation's okay. I think that's a good rule.
Yeah.
Generally, very good rule.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly. Follow us at Facebook at Haunt Weekly. We appreciate you spending this hour with us. And until next time, we will be back next week. Once again, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 65, talking about the Toxic Avenger. I screwed that up, didn't I?
No, I was trying to figure out a way to work Toxie in, but, you know,
no, whatever.
We'll run with it.
The Toxic Avenger. We will see you guys next week.